The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Bob Walshewski and is entitled, Help Lord, My Son Has Pink Hair. For a free catalog of all of our tapes and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
Wow, what a privilege to be here. Thank you, Bill. I guess I'm on lapel mic. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for you guys showing up and staying with a bagel shop just down the road a little bit. I figured this might be a good time. A lot of you would say, let's just get a bagel. We'll just, skip this one or whatever. But I'm pleased that you're here. Thanks, Compass International. It's probably risky. I know we all get jokes emailed to us, right? And I've never said these in public, so like I said, this is risky, but when I read these, I thought this was kind of cute. A man was in his usual place in the morning, sitting at the table reading the paper after breakfast. He came across an article about a beautiful actress who was about to marry a football player. The player was known primarily for his lack of IQ, his lack of common sense, and his lack of good looks. Well, he turned to his wife and he says, I'll never understand why the biggest, ugliest jerks always get the most attractive wives. His wife replied, why, thank you, dear. And then somebody sent me this one, too, this past week. A knight and his men returned to their castle after a long, hard day of fighting. How are we faring? Asked the king. Sire, replied the knight, I have been robbing and pillaging on your behalf all day, burning the towns of your enemies in the west. What? Shrieks the king. I don't have any enemies in the west. Oh, says the knight, what you do now? A couple of years ago, I met my family at a local Pizza Hut restaurant, took a break from focus, and we all met. We were doing the all-you-can-eat buffet. In fact, my family is here, my wife and my daughter, who just turned 16 and got her driver's license, and my son is about to be a teenager at 13. And seated catty-corner to where we were in our booth was a lady and three teenage guys, and one of them was sporting the T-shirt of a very popular rock band called Korn. That's not C-O-R-N, that's K-O-R-N. And knowing what I know about pop culture, I fired up one of those quick sentence types prayers that we all say. Lord, I'd like to talk to that lady. Would you give me an opportunity? And I didn't want to just go and barge in with the three guys there. I wanted to just talk to her by herself. But what were the chances? But lo and behold, the three guys got up and left, and there was Mom and her credit card waiting to pay the damages all by herself. And that was exactly what I was looking for. So I walked over to her and I said, ma'am, may I ask you a question? And she looks up at me, and of course she doesn't know me, and I think maybe she thought I was going to sell Amway or Shackley or something, So she's like, yeah? And I said, I'm thinking real quick, I decided, well, everybody likes to talk about their kids. So I said, were all three of those teenage guys yours? And she said, well, no, actually this one was mine and this one was mine and the other one was a friend. Well, one of them that she said was hers was the one wearing the T-shirt. And I said, ma'am, then let me ask you another question. I just curious. How does it feel being out in public with your teenage son sporting the T-shirt of a rock and roll band whose lead singer on the last album, it was at the time, has a very popular song where he fantasizes about killing his mother with a knife? And I'll never forget what she did. She looks up at me and she said, I had no idea. And she says, and neither does my son, I'm sure. And then she thought about that for a minute. She says, well, no, I bet he does. But I didn't have any idea. And I said, oh, I was just curious. And I went and sat back down. Didn't preach, didn't teach. And I don't know the end of the story. I don't know. I only hope that Mom and son had a time to talk a little bit later. But I share that story not because I'm saying everyone should go do likewise, but because of her comment. She said, I had no idea. And I have found that over and over and over again speaking to Christians that when it comes to culture, we have no idea. And more importantly, oftentimes when it comes to our own kids, like that mom, we have no idea. What are your kids, or if your kids, if your parents here or grandparents, what are your grandkids or your kids' favorite groups? What are their favorite movies? What television shows do they watch? You know, no longer we live in a day and age where we can't be ignorant of that. 30-some years ago, we could have. Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. Innocent songs on the radio for the most part. It didn't really matter. But we live in a very, very different age. Not long ago, I got a letter from a Larry in Michigan. Along with the letter, he sent 13 CDs to me, all stickered with parental advisories except one. And it was a fairly long letter, and this is just an excerpt from Larry's letter. But he went on to say this. He said, "My son is hooked on degrading, offensive music. And after 14 years of Christian schooling, church and Sunday school, he is rejecting Jesus and Christianity. Please get the word out before more children fall for this God-insulting music." Now, I want to ask you, was this son's problem the fact that he had never been to Sunday school in his life? No? Was his son's problem that he had, unfortunately, had to go to public school and wasn't able to go to a Christian school? No. He'd never been able to go to church in his life. No, he'd had all those factors. According to the father, what was the problem? It was his entertainment choices. Now, entertainment choices are much, much bigger than just music. But this father was convinced that music was the problem. And you know what? It may not be the only factor. There may have been other factors, and there probably were. But I am absolutely convinced that Larry is right. At least one factor in his son's spiritual growth, or rejecting Christianity in this case, had nothing to do with that he got into the drug scene or that he got messed up sexually. It had all to do with poor entertainment choices that mom and dad sat idly by and just let it happen until it became a problem. Dr. Dobson, of course, at Focus on the Family, gets thousands and thousands of more letters than I do. We've never tested this out, but it is my belief that when it comes to extremely hate-filled, obscene letters and emails, that I get much more than Dr. Dobson, unfortunately. One of which I brought today because I think it helps illustrate the problem. This lady writes, "Dear Mr. Waliszewski, I was writing this letter in utter disgust. I am writing this letter in utter disgust after reading your article described above. I take serious offense to your statements regarding Korn, Slayer, and death metal music altogether. I personally am not a fan of death metal music. However, I am a fan of Korn, and I'm wondering how you can speculate on the lead singer's fantasies when you don't even know him, nor are you a fan of his music. I see this as the purest form of ignorance and why so many people in our country today are problematic. Honestly, I was only a little angry after I read the article, and then I went on to your website. That was definitely a mistake on my part." Let me stop here for a minute. By the way, how many of you have been on our website, pluggedinmag.com, for a movie review, an album review, or something? Let me see your hands. Both of you. Thank you. She did. And she wasn't happy. "You have reviews listed of practically every band, group, singer, rapper in the country today. And I might add, of every hot movie that comes out, usually on the day it comes out." She goes on to say, Is this what your life has become? Nothing better to do but to ruin someone else's right to freedom of speech? I do hope you realize that by publishing such beliefs and ideas in a negative manner, you're just promoting more violence and hatred among our youth." Now, who in her opinion, or what in her opinion, is the problem with youth today? You're looking at them. It's me! It's people from a conservative point of view like you who might care about the issue of entertainment. Now, it's quite long, and I've read to about here, and I don't have time to continue reading, but I want you to hear her closing line. She closes her letter with this: "Your intentions are not pure, And you, my friend, will rot in hell for that. Love, Patricia. Okay, actually said sincerely, Patricia. I did a... If it was just these type of letters, I can tell you what, I'd go find a job flipping hamburgers at Burger King, because you just can't take that kind of abuse, and we get those all the time. If our department at Focus, Focus is 86 different ministries under this big umbrella, and one of them is entertainment, reviewing and analyzing, going to the movies, watching the television shows, listening to the top charting albums, putting out the magazine Plugged In, which, by the way, is back in our booth, and doing the website so that we can help equip families with that information so they can make wise entertainment choices. If it was just a negative mail, we wouldn't do it. But then we get the good stuff from people who said, hey, this kind of stuff has changed my life. I just brought one long email from a guy named Josh as an illustration of this. Josh writes this. Here's the living proof that Christians spreading God's word can make a difference in someone's life. I have just passed the 1-year anniversary of the one event that has permanently changed my life. Now, when I first read it, and he says, the one event that's changed my life, I thought, what might that have been? Could it have been going to the Stealing the Mind conference? Well, it could have been, but it wasn't in this case. Was it that he went to summer camp and got turned on? Could have been, but it wasn't. Did he get to go to Africa on a mission trip? It wasn't. He goes on to say, surprisingly, that he attended a conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, that I was able to speak at, along with the editor of Plugged In magazine, Bob Smithhauser, where we talked to teen kids who were there because they had felt a call to missions about their need to be discerning when it came to their entertainment choices. And Josh goes on to say, when after you spoke, I got up in your face and I said, told you afterwards that I thought you were wrong. He says, but time went on and the Lord started talking to me and I thought, you know, maybe there's something here to this. One other thing I need to tell you is that when Bob and I spoke, there's a pesky little fly here. When Bob and I spoke, we never said, okay, teens in the audience, after we're done speaking, we want you to go find a 55-gallon drum, make a big fire in it, find all your bad CDs, any videos that you own that are bad news and whatever, and burn it in a 55-gallon drum. I say that because that ends up being what he did, and I want to make sure, I'm fine with the idea, but it wasn't what we said. But let me give you the closing lines here of his long email, along with some friends that were also similarly convicted. He says, 3 hours and $1,300 worth of CDs later, 6 guys had burned the CDs clouding their life. A couple months later, I was baptized along with my sister, and the fire of God is burning strong in my soul. And so I would like to say thanks for helping to start a fire for God in my life. Notice that, yeah. Notice again, the fire of God started when he made some wise entertainment choices in his life. For many teenagers today that love Jesus, getting to that next level, a deeper walk with God, C.S. Lewis says, higher up and further in, for them getting higher up and further in is blocked because of poor entertainment choices. Well, Stephen and Paul and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel didn't have to worry about that back in the first century. But today, that's a different thing. We're bombarded with media. And I don't believe our God is anti-media, by the way. I think Jesus is excited about positive entertainment. In fact, do you guys know what the number one most watched film of all time is? It's not Titanic. That was the number one grossing film of all time. But the number one watched film is the Jesus film by Campus Crusade. They say 1 billion people have probably watched that film, and many have given their hearts to Christ. The medium is not evil. It's been powerfully used of the Lord. But in this medium is a lot of abuse. One of the reasons we do what we do, and I say what I say, and I'm here today, is because according to the research, it's a big problem in the church. If you look on one of the screens, you can see that according to George Barna, and it's the third line down, he did a polling not long ago where he asked Christian teens and non-Christian teens, he calls teens baby busters, that's his word, and he asked them the question at the top of the page. This is a page right out of his book. He said, in the last 7 days, have you watched MTV? Notice what he found. On a percentage basis, 42% of Christian teens compared to 33% of non-Christian teens said, yes, in the last 7 days, I've watched MTV. Take your church youth group, wherever you attend. Get all the kids, all the teens together. Have them number off. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Have the ones stand up. You're basically looking at your MTV viewing audience, if you will. You can't be watching MTV without there be other entertainment poor choices going on. And I might add, very few of them have pink hair. These are normal looking kids making some very unwise choices when it comes to entertainment. Another reason we do what we do is because we're absolutely convinced that the Scripture commands us to help the body of Christ become more discerning. You won't find any Scripture, though, that says, go into all the world telling people that thou shalt not watch slasher films or something, or thou shalt not be a heavy metal Korn fan or something like that. By the way, you know what the number one film is this week as we sit in this audience today? Yes, a slash, Freddy versus Jason. You know, the number one film. You can't find the Scriptures like that, but the principles are all over. One of my very favorite is this one, out of Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Do you realize that every single television show that's ever been produced, every movie that's ever been released, every album, every song that's ever come out, is based on someone's philosophy? Fortunately, a lot of it, some of it, maybe a lot is too generous. Some of it is positive or neutral, and it doesn't war against our values. But there is a lot of stuff today for young people, stuff getting Grammy Awards and being applauded in the public is excellent stuff, that fits the bill of something this Scripture would warn. It tells us to stay away from what type of philosophies again? Hollow and deceptive philosophies. I submit to you that when Patricia wrote that letter telling me that I was the problem, that she was taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy. I care about Patricia. I actually wrote her a letter back and got a pretty decent reply from her in return. But she, at least with letter number one, was a captive. Larry's son in Michigan was a captive of hollow and deceptive philosophies. The downside of hollow and deceptive philosophies? Captivity. What's another word for that? Imprisonment, bondage too. Patricia was, she's a smart gal. She writes a good letter. Her verbiage is good. I think she's very intelligent and very bright. That's not a problem. But she, in her brightness, is still a captive, was a captive at least, to hollow and deceptive philosophies. I submit that our churches are full of young people who are either on the verge or in some degree have been taken captive by messages that they've watched in the theater with their friends and go, teenagers, yeah, having sex, okay, yeah. I sound a True Love Waits campaign, but can't be that much problem with it, can it? Especially after they hear it over and over and over and over again. A couple years ago, I had a chance to interview this young man. If you can see his hands are together. I don't know if you can tell from where you're sitting, but he has handcuffs on. This is Jamie Rouse. He's in prison serving 2 consecutive life sentences. He'll never get a chance for parole. So when he wanted to talk to me, it wasn't about a chance of, you know, well, maybe I can do something to get out. He knows he will spend his life there. Jamie Rouse in 1995 walked into his high school and became one of the first school shooters in America before Columbine, before Jonesboro, before Pearl, Mississippi, before Paducah. There was Linville, Tennessee, and Jamie Rouse. You're going to hear Jamie in just a minute on a little video clip. But one of the things Jamie doesn't say, and this was part of our discussion, I started asking him why he did what he did. What he did was walk in with a .22 caliber rifle. He began walking down the halls, just shooting indiscriminately. Boom, 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 boom. He killed a teacher. He killed a 9th grade student. He shot another teacher who did recover, but I've been told has never been the same since that particular accident. And I asked Jamie, How could you do something so horrific? How could you do that? And there were several things that he went into. And I said, what about entertainment? Did it play a role? And he said, Bob, yeah, it did play a role. One of the things you won't hear him say, and you're going to hear part of the interview, was that the night before he walked in the school, he took a gangster rap CD that was one of his favorites. And he took one particular song that was one of his favorite, and he put it on continual replay. He wanted to hear that particular song over and over and over again all night before he fell asleep, and even while he was sleeping, so that he could wake up in the morning and so that he could have the strength to do what he felt he needed to do, which was to go kill people at his school. Listen to what Jamie has to say about entertainment choices. Not just music, but notice at last he'll talk about a movie, Natural Born Killer, that was just out at that time in 1995 by Oliver Stone.
When I first started listening to heavy metal music, Saigon Kick, I think that was the very first CD I'd ever bought. And it had very, anti-Jesus lyrics, and that's what inspired me, to carve the inverted cross, to begin with. I just thought it'd be cool, that's because I didn't have a strong support, church support at home. Didn't really have anything in my life. I had a big void. I didn't know my identity, so I started experimenting. Yes, and the music, it gave me a place to experiment with, and unfortunately, it was the wrong type. And then, as all the stuff I listened to, most of it was very anti-religious, violent, and then just, music is something that's I'd listen to all the time. At home, in my car, and just has, it made me feel angry and sometimes just evil. Outright evil. It made you feel capable of evil, and it pumps you up and gets you excited. It made killing seem cool. That's the way I took it. And I remember sitting down on my couch watching it.
He said, how did Natural Born Killers make you feel? He said, it made killing seem cool. Well, somebody might ask in here, but Bob, thousands of people have seen that movie, and there's not that many school shooters like that. And I agree. It's not a matter of going to the extreme like Jamie Rouse did. It's a matter of what type of influences are happening in people's life. If they never go that far, but let's say they just become callous toward life by watching a movie like that. Or they listen to an Eminem song where he boasts about raping his own mother. By the way, 3 Grammy Awards for that particular album. How many kids would just say, well, then I'll lose respect for my mother, who would never go as far as the extreme? What else does the Bible have to say to guide us along this line about helping our young people, or if you're a young person here today, about helping yourself make wise entertainment choices? Above all else, guard your heart, says Proverbs 4:23. Notice it doesn't say, hey, if you're thinking about it and you get around to it sometime, think about guarding your heart. It's a wise thing to do, And we realize you're busy people, but, above all else, guard your heart. And, when it comes to media, we've got parents in the church who would more quickly make sure their kids have sunscreen when they go outside than to make sure their kids are safeguarded by their entertainment choices. You know what I mean? You got moms that said, I would never let my child be outside for 20 minutes without SP 15 or better. And yet that same mother may say, but I don't have a clue what movie my daughter went to last weekend when she said she wanted to go. In fact, when she left, I said, what time are you going to be home, hon? And she said, I'll be home at 10:30. And I said, I was a good mother. And I said, well, don't be home at 10:31. Yes, ma'am. And the mother says, I'm pretty good here. Wait a minute. What should have been the question? What movie? Better yet, what is that movie going to speak into your life? How might thou knowest what that movie would speak ahead of time? Sounds like a commercial here. We're not the only place, but our website, Plugged In Magazine or PluggedInMag.com, lists those reviews so families can go, okay, sexual content, drug and alcohol content, spiritual messages and whatever. And
and they can make a decision. And we try not to say, don't go or do go. We just try to get the information. We know that if families will just say, but I want to honor God with my entertainment choices, this scenario may happen. Family A on one side of the street may say, wow, look what Focus on the Family said about this movie. Obviously, we're not going to that. Family B on the other side of the street reads the same review and they read it and say, wow, look what Focus on the Family said about that. Okay, a few caveats. We can navigate those. We'll talk about those afterwards. Yeah, we're going to go. Because we try not to say, we just want to get the information. We just want people to say, I want to honor God in this area of my life, entertainment. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, another good guiding scripture when it comes to entertainment. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Maybe we ought to have placards over our television set and everyone make handwrite. If you're into calligraphy or if you can just write this one. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. And put it on our television set. Psalm 101:3. Do I have to tell you that things have changed a lot in the last 35 years or so, three decades? Well, I want to give you a little bit of a reminder because I realize we're different ages here, especially for young people. Young people are like, really? We haven't had like gangster rap forever. We haven't had sexually explicit R&B music like forever. America Pie 2 type movies were not out in the 60s. You're kidding me. You know, whatever. I want to take you a little, and I wish we could do it on television side and movie side. Time-wise allows me to concentrate a little bit more on the music side. Let me take you back, for some of you, back to 1967, the Ed Sullivan Show. How many of you watched the Ed Sullivan Show? Okay, a bunch of you. I'm going to take you back to one you may remember. There was a new group in town at that particular time in 1967, not new now, the Rolling Stones. They had a hit song, Let's Spend the Night Together. Ed Sullivan said, yeah, you can be on my show, but you're not going to sing the song, Let's Spend the Night Together. You're not going to sing it that way. If you're going to be on my show, you're going to have to change the words. He asked Mick Jagger and company to change it to Let's Spend Some Time Together. A walk down memory lane.
In 1967, the censors raised their blue pencils once again and requested that the Rolling Stones change the chorus of their hit single, Let's Spend the Night Together, to a much tamer, Let's Spend Some Time Together. One can tell from Mick Jagger's facial expressions that he and the band resented the change.
Yeah, he and the band resented the change. But they made the change in 1967. Why? Because you wouldn't go on primetime TV and offend American sensibility with a song that was promoting sex in an outside of marriage type context. He just wouldn't do that. So Mick Jagger hated it, but he did it.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn or reverse your cassette now for the continuation of this message.
Now I want to fast forward to 2003. Would that be a problem today, that song? I wish! I still find that a problem, but I wish it was the worst of what we were dealing with. No! You could take Sesame Street and Bert could turn to Ernie and say, we're going to sing a song today. Let's spend the night together. And then on Sesame Street, or Mattel could release a pull toy for toddlers, where that was the theme song. That's where we are in this generation. Instead, let me just tell you a little bit, just a little snapshot for some. And again, I know some of you are very aware, because you're dealing with these issues in your own home. But some of you aren't. And I just want to give you a little idea of where we are today. Fast forward to 2003. It's not Let's Spend the Night Together. Let me give you an example. In my opinion, and you can tell me on January 1st if I turn out to be wrong. But in my opinion, the number one best-selling album of this entire year will belong to this artist. His name is 50 Cent. How many of you have heard of 50 Cent? Let me see your hands. All 12 of you, yeah. That's okay, though. I mean, I think it's okay, but today we're getting a little bit of exposure. He has an album that for the past 24 weeks has only come out of the top 10 once. The first 5 days it was on the market, it sold nearly 1 million copies. So far, it's sold 5.7 million copies. What does 50 Cent, and I have a feeling he will get a Grammy Award as well for his album. So a potential Grammy Award winner that will have the number one album, or at least it's safe to say, this is definitely true, that he sold almost 6 million copies to your kids. How many teenagers in America? 30 million. If you sell 6 million, one in five can own a copy. That kind of gives you an idea of how popular this guy is. What is he speaking into the culture 36 years later? For instance, I love to pump crack. What does he mean by that? Crack cocaine. I enjoy that, he says. That's something that fires me up. I love to do that. I love to pump crack, and I love to stay strapped. What does that mean? He likes to have guns on him. In his waistband, strapped is a slang term for I like to have guns. I love to squeeze gats. Gats, another slang term for handguns. I love my two Glocks, handguns, again. I love to bust shots. I love the sound of gunfire. And there are literally hundreds of examples from this very, very violent, very, very pro-drug, very perverse album. That is one example. Let me give you a second example. A full month in the top 10, the soundtrack for the album Too Fast and Too Furious. Full month in the top 10. So a top 10 album for four solid weeks. So we know we're talking hugely popular with this generation. What might be an example of something this particular artist would say? I want you to hear it, not just read it. So if I did it right, we should get a little sound. We're going to order pizza when they send the driver. We're going to stick 25 up in the day. Let's ride, stepping outside like warriors into the notorious south side. One weapon to the four of us, hiding in the corridor till we see the dominoes call headlights. White boy in the wrong place at the right time. Soon as the car door open up, he mine. We roll up quick and put the pistol to his nose. By the look on his face, he probably in his clothes. You know what this is. Pick up, give me the dough from your pickup. She ran into the wrong niggas. We running down the block hot with these pieces of boxes. So we split up and met back at the apartment. Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know how that sits with you, but that bothers me. Does it bother you? It bothers me that a top 10 album that's popular with teenagers advocates robbing Domino's pizza delivery guys in order to have money so that you can pay your bills. And in this particular song, that's not the only thing this particular album advocates. This particular artist talks about getting involved in credit card theft and tells you how you can assume someone else's identity, steal their credit card so that you can buy things. I wonder how many, you know, since that time this album came out, I started clipping out I'm from Colorado Springs. I started clipping out articles in our local paper about Domino's robberies. I've had two since the album came out. Now I realize there have been some, you know, there's always been robbery of police, of pizza delivery people. But two since the album in our own town, I thought, could it have been inspired by this particular? I have a feeling that that's very much a possibility. At least if nothing else, some young person, 8, 9, 10, is thinking, criminal activity to get money to pay bills must be okay. My role model says that's fine. Now, let me also say it's not just the harder stuff. I've given you an example of from NSYNC now, the Blink 182. I'll give you an example of some of the harder stuff, the gangster rap and whatever. What about the J-Lo's, the Christina's, the Britney Spears, the Blink 182's, the NSYNC's of the world? Did they have... I'm concerned about some of those messages that they speak. Not just the heavy metal stuff out there in the world. Some of the light... And I'll just give you one example here. On the very right-hand corner of the screen is an artist whose two albums ago, peaked at number 4, sold over 3 million copies. And I bring this up as an example because she was picked by Target stores as someone to represent their stores in a positive way. You might recall that in the 80s, they used Amy Grant, for instance. They want someone with a wholesome image. They didn't want a gangster rap artist. They didn't want a heavy metal star. They wanted someone who was wholesome and good and spoke positive messages. So they chose Macy Gray. Now I want to suggest to you by this song, does she deserve her wholesome Target status? Here's one of her songs. She sings, "I am a sexomatic Venus freak when I'm with you. And I will stop it only when you tell me to. I'm the automatic easy freak all over you when we seek and hide. When my hands are tied, what's up with that? 69 positions and whipped cream all over my skin, and you get the idea where she's going. Now, you guys, I don't know what a sexomatic Venus freak is. But I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, and I don't want either one of them to become whatever she's talking about. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It bothers me that even our positive role models in music are putting out this kind of garbage. And that 42% of Christian teens watched MTV last 7 days to continue to get a diet and a dose. And then I wonder about the Larry sons of the world who are struggling with their faith because they spend a lot more time in the entertainment world than they've been in their Bible or in their youth group or in their prayer time. You know, to teach this principle, it's extremely important that we understand this principle that I'm just going to remind you. I know you're aware of it, but it's that God cheers us on. A few years ago, those of you from Colorado Springs might be able to relate. In fact, probably many of you had your kids in this one. Jose Muldoon's restaurant hosts an annual spring spree, 5K, 10K, and a 1 mile kids run. My son Trevor, who I said is just about to turn 13, when he was 9 years old, he lined up at this race. Now, this is an interesting race because for a lot of fun runs in Colorado Springs area for kids, if you have 20 kids running, that's considered a good fun run. But the Jose Muldoons, they have 400 kids that show up. And from toddlerhood with holding mom's hand for that 1 mile to 12 years and 364 days, those kids battle it out and whatever. So Trevor's 9 years old and he lines up at the starting line with the other 399 kids and the gun goes off. And they go down Tejon Street, for those of you in Colorado Springs, and about the CC campus, they go around a cone and then they come back. So you can't see them most of the way, but you know where they're going, kind of thing. Another interesting thing about this race is that the winners get to be two police motorcycle escort coming back. How cool is that, you know? So anyways, the gun goes off, and here goes Trevor and all these 399 other kids going, I'm straining and watching, and we just, you know, looking at my watch and thinking, okay, by about now, we ought to see somebody. And sure enough, I see not the runner, but I see the two police motorcycle escort. So I'm looking, I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be a runner. Okay, I can see. And the more I look, I realize, whoa, that's my son Trevor. He's 9 years old. That's him in the lead spot. Whoa, isn't this cool? So I begin doing something which all you fathers can relate. I'm like going, come on, Trevor, go, come on. But right on his heels was a kid that was probably 12 years and 364 days old, you know. Tall, lanky, he's got these orange fancy running shorts on and an orange singlet. I mean, he's dressed for the part too. And he's right on my son's tail, you know. And I'm screaming louder and screaming harder. Come on, Trevor, go. And man, they're battling out, and right at the tape, Trevor comes across at 9 years old and he makes it in first place. Now I'll tell you what. I was pumped. I was excited. Oh yes, I'm ready. I'm down hugging. I was just so excited about that. Now, why do I share that story? Well, number one, I love to brag on my kids. But number two is because I believe God does that with us when it comes to His principles and His Word. He cheers us on and He calls us by name and He loves us so much. I didn't just sit back and go, okay, Trevor, do well. I hope you do well. Well, if you don't do well, it's your fault. I mean, I'm screaming and yelling and hollering and cheering and whatever. God loves us that much. He cheers for us. He cheers for our teenagers. He wants them to be successful. So when He says things like, hey, teens, or even, hey, parents, clean up your act when it comes to your entertainment choices, it's not about, oh, He took away all my freedom. It's not another thing I have to do because I'm a Christian. It's about God loving us so much that He wants to safeguard us and He cheers us on that it's like we should be going, yes, thank you, Lord, for that guidance. I need that. In my own life, I needed that guidance. I was a Christian probably 8 years before I started believing that Jesus cared about my entertainment choices. When I became a Christian, a lot of garbage got rid of instantly. That area, and I found with a lot of Christians, stuck on is baggage in my life for a long time. Henry Blackaby says this about that principle, the bottom part of it. He says, when God gives you a command, He is trying to protect and preserve the best He has for you. He is not restricting you. He is freeing you. So when we make healthy entertainment choices, according to Henry Blackaby, it's not about restriction. It's about being free. Oh, if we can understand that. Influence on the media side isn't always negative. There's a story, a true story. I put it in a report that I wrote for Focus when I was there just, I've been there now 12 years. It focused on the family, 10 years in the department that I now manage, the youth culture department. I wrote a report for Focus, and this story still stands with me today. A 4-year-old girl smelled smoke in the middle of the night. She got up, she ran to her parents' room, said, Mommy and Daddy, there's smoke. Her mom and dad woke from a sound slumber, start smelling, they go, yes, you're right, there's smoke. They went and got their 15-month-old baby. The four of them ran out as the house was engulfed in flames and totally destroyed. Mom and dad asked that 4-year-old girl, how did you know to come wake us? And they said, she said, well, Barney says if you ever smell smoke, you need to go tell Mommy and Daddy. Well, positive media. You know, it's not anti-media. In my own life, I was watching a film for Focus, Gods in General. Some of you may saw that. There was a scene in there that got me really thinking about faith and faith issues in my own life. About Schmidt, I don't recommend the movie, but he sponsors a child through a real-life sponsorship program called Child Reach, and people started signing up for Child Reach, sponsoring children like crazy after the movie. USA Today did a whole article on it. So there's positive types of entertainment. But notice what some Hollywood insiders have to say about media and how that's not always the case.
For shaping the mind of man ever invented.
Film is a powerful medium. Film is a drug. Film is a potential hallucinogen. It goes into your eye, it goes into your brain, it stimulates, and it's a dangerous thing. It can be a very subversive thing.
Television people have put blinders on, and they absolutely refuse, and movie people too, to admit that they can have any influence for ill in our society. You know the argument, it's we only reflect what's going on. We don't perpetuate it. And yet not a week goes by in this town where there's not an award ceremony where they're patting each other on the back saying, you know, you raised AIDS awareness. There'll be no more child abuse thanks to this fine show you did. The argument is you can only influence for good. You can't influence for ill. I mean, that makes no sense at all.
It makes no sense at all. You can, even Hollywood admits that what they put out influences. But can it only be influencing for the good? There'll be no more AIDS, no more whatever because of this project you guys worked on. He said it can't be that way. It has to have a downside. He's absolutely right. So what practically can we do about entertainment then? First of all, in your own homes, mom and dads, and if you're a teenager, teen, take it to heart. Train a Christ-honoring standard when it comes to media discernment. Grandparents, get the message to your kids, to get to their kids, or get it straight to the grandkids. I like to say that at least 2 times a year, you get around the dinner table after dinner and ask the kids to bring their favorite CDs up and you listen to them as a family. You look at the lyric sheet and you make sure. You always ask what movie your kids are going to, and you make sure that you've checked ahead of time on a website that gives advance information what they're getting into before you allow them to go. And young people, that you decide on your own whether mom and dad ever help you in this standard, that you say, I want to honor God here. Not because it's restrictive, like Blackaby said, it's freeing because it's the right thing to do. Teach or live, if you will, the what would Jesus do principle. We all remember, what was it, 7 or 8 years ago, it seemed like every young person at every teen conference had the WWJD bracelets on. They were hugely popular. It was WWJD everything, T-shirts, lunch pails, and whatever. And although the fad may have died down, the concept behind that bracelet trend can guide us every single day in our lives when it comes to media, to apply what would Jesus do. Now, there may be some gray areas that we're not real sure at, but probably 95% of the time, if we'll just ask the question, we're about ready to go to the movies, and certain movie is playing, and we read the review online, if we'll ask ourselves, would Jesus go to that movie? If he were walking the planet today with his 12 disciples, and that movie came out, would he say, hey guys, there is this movie, let's all go to the theater and watch? If it's a Jesus-type film, the answer could easily be yes. And you could say, we're going. But if it's a film that doesn't meet that family standard that you set in principle number one, you say, I don't care what my neighbors are doing. I don't care what my friends are doing. Jesus wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take his 12 disciples. I know he would. My heart of heart tells me he wouldn't. I am going to be strong enough to say no. I'm not going to do it either. Stay in the know. I don't expect you to go to the movies. I don't expect you to watch it. In fact, I don't want you to. But I do think, especially parents, that there needs to be a sense of general knowledge about the culture. We talked a little bit about that today, so here's some enlightenment along that line. But Focus on the Family puts out a magazine called Plugged In. And we've got copy. In fact, I've never seen the ministry do this before, but for anybody who signs up for the magazine, it's a $20 a year suggested donation. Focus on the Family is giving it a free Mind Over Media video, which it teaches media discernment principles in video form. In a half hour. It's tremendous. They're throwing that in for free. So I highly recommend signing up for Plugged In. By the way, if it's your birthday today, I want you to get a complimentary copy of Plugged In. So if you have a birthday, and I know there's got to be a bunch of birthdays, it just works out. The statistics would say there's several here. You're going to, birthday present, go sign up for free. I want to do a happy birthday. But stay in the know. Read Plugged In. Make sure you're reading the website before you go. It's not that hard to do to have the basic knowledge of what's going on in the culture. Model it. Especially for parents here. Mom and dad, you can't have this family meeting that I talked about and say, okay, we're going to do it. And then say, but that's for the kids. We don't care. We're going to watch every R-rated thing that comes down the pike. We don't care because we can handle that, whatever. Model it so that in your family, moms and dads, you're setting an example that says we are being discerning. Parents, if you haven't been doing it right, like I can relate to in my own life, not that many years ago, if you will, plenty of years, eight or so after I became a Christian, I finally had to realize that I had to make some changes. That's okay. It's okay to say, kids, I've been doing it wrong. I'm sorry. We're going to make some changes from here on out. And lastly, my last point, encourage healthy alternatives. On the music side of things, for every genre out there, there is a Christian alternative. And I'm not just saying it has to be Christian. I'm not anti-secular or mainstream music as long as it meets the standard. What would Jesus do? But sometimes you have to ask your question, why on the music side? Christian music is great. There, if a kid likes R&B, there's Christian R&B, industrial, punk, and on and on and on. When I met the Lord 30-some years ago, that wasn't the case. There was hardly any Christian music, you know? And I came from a hard rocking background of Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. If somebody at that time would have said, you need to make some entertainment choices, you need to have some alternatives, they would have handed me a Pat Boone album. Excuse me, I don't think that fits. But today we don't have to do that. Whatever a kid likes and is getting, there's an alternative. And there's good alternatives on television. They take some time to look for them, but they're there. There's good alternatives for movies as well. There are those alternatives. It's just a matter of seeking. I want to close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this audience who's been so gracious and being attentive. Holy Spirit, I know it's not by accident that this message was asked to be presented at a conference that has a lot to do with Bible prophecy and apologetics. And then here's this odd duck talk on media discernment. Thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to deliver it. Thank you that Compass International believed in it enough to say come. I have to believe, Lord God, that there are several people here and people that will hear by tape later or by video later whose hearts are being pricked right now. Their consciences are being talked to. They may have a Larry's son in their own family or one that's a potential. Or maybe they're like Larry's son themselves. They're struggling. They haven't gone to that next level. And it's not because of drug problems or immorality. It's because they've made poor entertainment choices. Father, help them to get free. Help them to realize it's not about being restricted. It's about being more freed up. To do this to honor your name, we pray in that name above every name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you.
To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible teaching books and tapes, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day or on the web at compass.org.